I love that song, don't you? Grateful for Gratitude. But I have to tell you, the first time I heard that song, I thought, wait, why would I be grateful for gratitude? I had to kind of stop and think about it for a moment. Did you? Maybe it's just me. But once I did think about it, all these reasons just came pouring in, right? Because gratitude is good for us. It's good for us. It's good for us emotionally and mentally, physically and spiritually. You know, gratitude, it lifts our spirits. It fills our hearts just like we're feeling today. It brings us joy. And gratitude, when we are practicing gratitude, when we are feeling grateful, it helps us to see life differently, doesn't it? And therefore we experience life differently. In fact, we could even say gratitude is like the great healer. Because when we're in that state of gratitude, when we're practicing being thankful, when we're seeing in that way, it can heal our attitudes, it can heal our relationships, it can even heal our physical bodies. I've talked before about this from up here, about people who have actually healed themselves from terminal illness, in part through a practice of gratitude. Amazing, isn't it? But when I think about gratitude, I have to say what I am most thankful for about gratitude, grateful for gratitude, is that as soon as we start moving into that place of gratefulness, it immediately shifts our consciousness, doesn't it? It sort of puts us in another realm. We are instantly in a state of grace, a state of grace. We're pulled right into the heart of God. Well, here in the U.S., we dedicate one day a year, Thanksgiving, to specifically being grateful, to counting our blessings, to giving thanks. And isn't it just so wonderful? I love Thanksgiving. It feels so great to just slow down and look around at life and think, wow, I am so blessed, so blessed. Wouldn't it be great if we could feel that way more often? If only we could, right? Well, guess what? We can. In fact, we can actually hardwire our brains to help us experience more frequently gratitude and joy and peace, compassion, harmony, all those things. This is new to me. Maybe some of you knew this, but we can physically change our brains to foster greater happiness. That is amazing to me. And the reason that that is true is because our brains are always changing and evolving. The physical brain is always changing and evolving according to the thoughts and the experiences that we are having. So we are constantly building these neural networks within us. In his best-selling book, Hardwiring Happiness, neuropsychologist Rick Hansen writes this: whatever we repeatedly sense and feel and want and think is slowly but surely sculpting neural structure. Incredibly fast, complex, and dynamic neural activity is continually changing your brain like a surging current reshaping a riverbed. So our minds are being shaped by what we focus on. And then he says, if you keep resting your mind on self-criticism, worries, grumbling about others, hurts, and stress, then your brain will be shaped into greater reactivity, vulnerability to anxiety and depressed mood, a narrow focus on threats and losses, and inclinations toward anger, sadness, and guilt. On the other hand, if you keep resting your mind on good events and conditions, someone was nice to you, there's a roof over your head, pleasant feelings, the things you do get done, physical pleasures, etc., and your good intentions and qualities, then over time, your brain will take a different shape, one with strength and resilience hardwired into it, as well as a realistically optimistic outlook, a positive mood, and a sense of worth. Looking back over the past week or so, Where has your mind mainly been resting? Well, I'm going to guess maybe not as much on the positive things as you might like. Well, the way to change that is through a simple practice Rick Hansen describes called taking in the good. Taking in the good. And it simply means taking time to notice and then stay with a positive moment or a memory. You stay with it for maybe a dozen seconds or more, rather than just brushing it off and quickly moving on. By giving it that extra time, by allowing it to really sink in, we might even say sort of revel in it, it actually becomes a part of us. And so what would have just been a passing mental state now becomes part of our neural structure. We are actually hardwiring happiness into ourselves, into our brains. And you know what? Our brains need this. We need this. Because as it turns out, our brains naturally veer toward the negative, right? They naturally veer toward the negative, or what Rick Hansen says is our brains are like Velcro for negative experiences and Teflon for positive ones. Oh, I know, right? He nailed that. What it basically says is that the negative tends to stick with us, but the positive just sort of slides off. Now, you know this. You already are recognizing this. You know this. If someone says to us 20 things they love about us, how great we are in 20 different ways, and then they say, but you know, there's just this one thing. There's just this one thing. If you could just change this one thing. 20 things that are wonderful, one thing they'd like change, what do we remember at the end of the day? The one thing, right? Or let's say you have an amazingly productive day. You're out there doing good in the world, you're making a difference in people's lives, but you make one mistake. What's going to be on your mind as you go to sleep that night? That one mistake. This is not because we are overly sensitive or unable to forgive ourselves. This is because our brains have a built-in negative bias. They tend to gravitate to the negative. We're always looking around for any sign of threat or danger. Well, we got this from our ancestors. They needed this. They needed to be constantly vigilant in order to survive. So they had this hardwired into their neural structure. It has now been passed down to us. Thank you very much. It has now been passed down to us. So even when we're happy, there's always a little script running in the background, right? Always looking out for any possible danger or loss, because we are programmed to be ready for that. And as soon as something happens, we intensely and immediately react to it and quickly store it in our neural structure. On the other hand, when something wonderful happens, when something great happens, it just sort of comes and goes and doesn't leave much impact. Only if we make a choice to really internalize it, to pause, to stay with that for a few moments, only then does it become embedded in us and begin to affect our brains. So you see, the very one very good way, I don't know if it's the best way, but a great way to counteract this negative bias that we all have is by a regular practice of taking in the good. Taking in the good is sort of like an advanced course in gratitude, isn't it? Right? So you notice things, but this means you take them in more deeply. And here's how we do it. 4 steps that together form the acronym HEAL. H-E-A-L. And the first one is have a positive experience. Now you may think, well, that's not up to me. That's up to you. Come on. You can have a positive experience right now, can't you? Simply by what you choose to bring to mind. You could be noticing something around you. You could be noticing something beautiful. You could think about something you're grateful for. Someone who loves you. You could have a fond memory. Think about something you've accomplished. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Give you a very little thing and still have very big impact. And second, once you have this positive moment, enrich it. Stay with it. You stay with the positive experience for a dozen or 20 or even more seconds. So this takes some practice a little bit because we're very used to moving on quickly. But now you're really going to sit with it. You're going to take it into your heart. You have to keep resting your mind on a positive experience for it to shape your brain and for you to experience the full benefit. So you can do this by taking time to notice how you're feeling and then enhance it. You can enhance it through your self-talk, right? You can say things like, stay with this. Stay with this. Notice this. Encourage the experience to be more intense by appreciating something fresh about it and something novel. Or you might just try giving yourself a little soft half smile. I know you're doing that under your masks. Nice little half smile. There's my Maya. Making me smile. Next, absorb it. So now that you've given a chance to enrich it, you're going to absorb it. You sense this experience sinking into you. You're taking it into your heart now. You're taking it into your body. At this point, I like to say, ah, God. Ah, say it with me. Ah, God. Whew, yes. Drink it in. Breathe. Let yourself be soothed and changed by the experience. And the fourth step is actually an optional one. I think this is maybe for the advanced practitioners. It's called link a positive and negative experience, positive and negative material. So while you're having this very vivid experience of the positive in the foreground, in the forefront of your mind, you also sort of dimly aware of something negative. You could be thinking about something, somebody that you really love, but maybe you've got a little history or something you need to let go of with respect to that person. So you might, at the same time as you're feeling the positive feelings, just simultaneously, vaguely remember that sort of negative thing going on. If the negative begins to take over, we drop it immediately and go right back to the positive. And then when we feel recentered in the positive, we can add that negative back in and just allow the positive to become more prominent and intense, to basically overtake it. You start to feel that negative just shrink and shrink and disappear. Here's how one person took in the good to shift their experience. Quote, I was having panic attacks, and so each day I went out on my back porch and focused on my garden. I would look at the plants I love and watch the insects buzz around. The birds hop between plants and the sunshine filter through the leaves. For a few minutes, I would take in the feelings of safety I had in my garden. Sometimes I imagined this confidence and peace making a golden protective bubble all around me. Then I would pick up a small object from the garden, put it in my pocket. When I started to feel uncomfortable anxiety, I held the object, remembering how I felt in the garden, bringing those feelings of strength and peace into my mind. So simple, right? Just takes a little bit of time and awareness. When I want to bring more of the good into my life, of course, I can think about all of you and us, but probably most immediately, I think about my family, my beautiful, wonderful family, and all the joy that they bring me. I remember when I met my granddaughter Vivian for the first time. She was just 2 weeks old. I went down to Charleston, and I got to meet her. And when I got back to Virginia Beach, I just kept reliving over and over and over what it was like to hold her and to rock with her and then eventually feel her just relax and fall asleep on me. My heart was so full. It was so sweet. I could remember it to this moment, just going over that again. And same when little baby Maya came along. I can remember so vividly standing with her and swaying her and patting her with the baby lullabies playing. And then laying her down and just tearing up, seeing her in her little crib. Such a sacred moment. And sometimes if I'm having a hard day, I think back to my children and the great times that we had when they were growing up. It was just the three of us. Now, of course, we have this wonderful expanded family, and we have so many great times together and more to come. And if ever I just need a comforting thought. I remember how heavenly it is to lie in Richard's arms as we're falling asleep at night. The question is, what thoughts, what moments, what memories, what experiences fill your heart and soothe your soul? What does your mind gravitate to when you want to be self-nurturing? Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I would add, hold those thoughts for a little while. Stay there for a little while. Savor them, man. This is life. These are life's sweet moments. Take them in. Let them permeate your body. And let them influence the happiness in your brain. This is like gratitude 2.0 in my view, taking it to the next step. And what a perfect time to practice it during Thanksgiving. As we look around, there's so much to be grateful for. When you really start looking that way, it's more than you can even take in, isn't it? From dark chocolate to Thanksgiving turkey, from running water to electricity, from incredible, inspiring music to sacred silence, to the vastness of our beautiful, beautiful blue sky, to the sweetness of just one refreshing, cleansing breath. So much to be grateful for. So on this Gratitude Sunday, I want you to know how grateful I am for all of you and all of you. I am grateful for who you are. Even those of you I haven't met yet, I am grateful for who you are. I'm grateful for who we are and how we are. This place, what we have been through, what we have created together, what we will create together, what is coming our way. Today I want you to know, if you ever forget this, that you are whole. You are worthy. You are deeply loved. And every day, you are making more of a difference in our world than you could ever know. You are affecting more people's lives. You are sending out ripples of good. You are being a blessing. And remember, as you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, that as you are counting your blessings and including other people, they are including you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat and close your eyes. Take in a nice deep breath. Ah, God. Release and let it go. Oh, another deep breath in. Feel the sense of peace spreading through you in this sacred moment. I invite you, as you steep yourself in this sacred place, to bring into your mind a person, a place, or even a thing that lifts your heart, that brings you joy. Something or someone for which you are overwhelmingly grateful. Hold that image in your mind. And now allow your thoughts to enrich it. And remembering what's special about this individual or thing or place, the special gifts, the joy you receive from it, might think back to a particular memory of interacting around that particular person, place, or thing. Feel your heart taking that in, expanding. Breathe into it. Know that this thing for which you are so grateful, this person, whatever it may be, breathe it into your very being. It is not only a part of your life, it is a part of you. Linger there for just a few moments and absorb it in the silence. Today we are grateful for gratitude. We give thanks for our innate ability to choose what we focus on, to feed the positive into our hearts, our minds, our brains, our souls, our spirits, to look around us with eyes of wonder and say with all of our hearts, thank you, and so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Meditation.
Thank you.